really excited to be coming to Saugatuck into Michigan to perform. I've actually been to Saugatuck before with my family for a vacation and loved it. We had a wonderful trip, and it's just such a beautiful community and beautiful spot on the water. And so we're very excited to come back and perform.
So when we were getting in touch about recording an interview, I remembered the Claremont Trio being featured at the Gilmore Keyboard Festival. Is that right?
Yes. We had a wonderful time at the Gilmore. It was we were there in connection with an award that we won fairly early in our career, the Kallenstein Loretta Robinson International Trio Award. And one of the performances associated with the award was at the Gilmore, and we had a great time. I think we actually collaborated in that performance with the KLR Trio. You'll see Kallenstein and Jamie Loretta and Sharon Robinson, and it was a really terrific experience to get to know them better and to play alongside them.
Yeah, I can imagine. Tell me, at what point in the trio's life was that? How long had you been together? And
we formed the trio in 1999. We were also students at the time at Juilliard. I would say our career kind of started up after winning the Young Concert Artist auditions, which is a kind of a unique competition because if you win it, they become your management and they actually book concerts for you for a period of a few years. So we were with Young Concert Artists at the time that we won the KLR award. I think it was 2004 that we were given that award. We had been around for a few years. But that kind of bumped us up a level, I would say. We had been doing sort of a smaller, one kind of concert circuit, and this bumped us up to kind of the really great chamber music series, which is really fun. The KLR Award has a tour of about 20 of the nation's best chamber music series that are included, including the Gilmore. And so it was really great to get to play on all those series, to get to be heard by all those people. And I think it helped kind of bring us to the next level of our career. But that was back in 2004, so a number of years ago now.
Yeah, I guess time does fly. The Kallenstein Loretta Robinson Trio Award seems significant in that it's a rare competition in which it is your combination of instruments, the piano trio, that is competing, rather than, say, Young Concert Artists, where you're being judged alongside such a variety of performers and players of different kinds of soloists and combinations. It could get pretty confusing.
YCA is open to really anyone, so it was kind of a different feel at the competition. We actually had to convince the director of Young Concert Artists to even let us apply at the beginning, because they hadn't listed piano trio as one of their categories. But we were so passionate about it, I think we talked her into listening to it at least, and then hopefully she was glad she did. I think the KLR Trio really wanted to they loved playing trios. They made their career doing it, and they believed in the repertoire so strongly. They wanted to encourage young ensembles to really focus on that repertoire. I think historically there have been a lot of trios that were sort of three great soloists who came together and played here and there, or even a lot of concerts, but sort of saw themselves as individuals. And I think they wanted to form this award to help foster young groups that really were committed to the chamber music aspect of that, making that their focus. And I think that's a great legacy that they've left.
Was it a hard decision for the three of you to decide that the piano trio was going to be your main outlet of expression?
It for us, we sort of fell into it in a way that felt very natural. I had played in lots of string quartets growing up, and I had done, solo things and orchestra things. But we sort of, the three of us met each other while we were in school, and we started playing together, and it all clicked very naturally right at the beginning. We really had fun together, and the musical things seemed to just come together in a way that was really exciting. And so we started playing more and more. We did these competitions, and all of a sudden we were traveling around and touring, and it was kind of our career. And so it sort of was there. We didn't really choose it amongst many others, but I have no regrets at all. I think the trio repertoire really is. It does kind of combine the feeling of three individual voices with this kind of team effort, and the sonority of the three instruments, the blend of them is very unique and very powerful, I think. I think at our peak, we can sound like a whole orchestra, but we can also get this real intimacy. So it's a neat balance of those two factors, the intimate conversation and the very monumental scale. that we can achieve with those three instruments as well.
Do you all live in the same city?
Yeah, we're all in New York City and fairly close together. There was one point in early on in the trio's life when we lived within three blocks of each other. We don't do that anymore, but we're easy commute on the subway to get to each other. So,
are there some strong ties to Boston in your group?
My sister and I both grew up in Cambridge, actually, just outside of Boston. And our trio has played there regularly since we started. Actually, I think it was YCA, as part of their award, they booked us at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum for the first time, and we've done a series of concerts there over the years ever since. It's been a wonderful kind of second home for our trio in a way, and we've done a lot of performing in the Boston area also because of, I think, mostly just musical connections that we've had from our upbringing there. We just finished recording some new pieces up in Boston with the ensemble BMOP, or the Boston Modern Orchestra Project, a terrific ensemble led by Gil Rose that does a whole variety of really interesting new music, lots of recording projects, lots of a whole series of concerts as well. My sister and I recorded the John Harbison's double concerto, and then the trio recorded a triple concerto by Eric Sawyer, both terrific pieces. So those will be, we're really looking forward to those in the next year or so, I would hope.
So you've been really focused on the new for the last couple of years.
Well, you know, we always mix it in. I think with the trio repertoire, we're always happy to go back to some of our favorite chestnuts. Beethoven's Archduke, which we're playing this week, is certainly one of those. And I think in our group, we like to always have a mixture of things. But certainly, there's something very exciting about playing new pieces that are, you know, either totally new or being recorded for the first time. It gives you kind of a lot of responsibility as a performer to really show them in their best light. I think a piece, we say, it has legs if it has enough performances and convincing performances that people want to play it more and more. And I think that's always our goal with a new piece of music, is to make it something that will enter the mainstream or that people will want to keep playing and keep listening to. You know, there are lots of new pieces that get heard once and they're like, oh, that's really nice, but then they don't quite make it into the repertoire. And I think we feel very lucky. Our trio has commissioned a number of pieces, and quite a lot of them are actually, we play them a lot, and other groups are starting to pick them up and play them as well. And we see that as a success if it's a piece that starts to kind of permeate in different corners of the world. So.
Yeah, it's a combination of the music is really good and you give it a really convincing performance, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And also just living with it a little bit. You know, I think a lot of great pieces, you kind of gear up for the premiere and you play it, and then you kind of, it doesn't get played for a variety of reasons. But as an ensemble like ours, I think we have the opportunity to play something over the course of a season. And when you live with it, I think you kind of get better and better at bringing out the best qualities of the music. So that's a kind of luxury that we have as an ensemble.
Well, I'm speaking with violinist Julia Bruskin of the Claremont Trio, which is opening up the season of the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck this week with performances Thursday and Friday night at the Women's Club of Saugatuck. And Julia, I wondered if you would tell me about your friendship with Andrew Lee, one of the co-directors of the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck.
Sure. Drew went to school at Juilliard with my sister Emily and I. We were all studying there around the same time, and we weren't really close friends, but I do remember his playing. I remember being so swept away by hearing him play. Debussy in particular was just—I think it was something he was doing a lot of right then—and he would just make the most enchanting sounds and beautiful colors. And I always thought of him as a pianist that I wanted to hear again. So it was really fun. We actually had the opportunity to go and play at his college with our trio a few years back, and then it'll be really great to come back and be part of his festival that he's running that with Jenny, his wife. They've done, it seems like, a really wonderful job of putting together programs that are really dynamic and exciting, so we're glad to be a part of it.
One thing that strikes me about your program for Thursday and Friday is two of the three works are composed by women composers.
I know, it's so unusual. It shouldn't be, but it's a fun thing for us that we're able to offer these two pieces as part of the program. We're actually, later in the summer, we're playing at a festival where we're doing I think, 7 or 8 works by women composers. So this is just a small number of the ones that we're playing there. But we're kind of really exploring a lot of the options this summer, and it's been really fun to get to work on these pieces. In Saugatuck, we'll be playing Fanny Mendelssohn's trio, which is a terrific piece. Fanny Mendelssohn, the older sister of the much better known Felix Mendelssohn, was a terrific pianist and composer. But in her day, women were not encouraged to follow careers in music the way that I was when I was a child. I think she was given a wonderful musical education, and she played with her family a lot, but at a certain point it was made clear to her by her family that she was supposed to marry and make a household and make a domestic life her priority rather than music. And she's continued to make music and to host concerts and things throughout her life, but there was kind of a fairly early in her life, her focus shifted elsewhere, and I think that's part of why we don't know her music better, because she actually wrote most of her big works early in her life, before she had kind of settled down. But it sort of makes us all feel very grateful for the opportunities that we've had in our day and age. We're all basically having it all in a way, having families and careers as musicians, and none of our families ever told us that we couldn't do that. So I'm very grateful for that. But Fanny Mendelssohn was still able to write some wonderful pieces of music, and this trio, I think, is one of the great ones that she composed. It's very brilliant, especially in the piano part, very passionate music, but also has some very, very beautiful melodies. She was clearly inspired by her brother Felix's. He wrote many songs without words, so he was kind of exploring how each of the instruments could sing, even though they're not able to sing with words, but how the sonority of the instrument could sing. And she does that to great effect in this trio.
It's a little frustrating that it's still a rare thing to find women's voices, women's music on classical concert programs. And the good news is there are so many women writing music right now. Well, we just need to get to know them.
Yes.
And I understand the next,
yes, that's true.
The next piece on the program is from a contemporary woman composer.
Yes, we are so excited to be presenting Gabriella Elena Frank's trio. She wrote for our trio in 2012. It's called Folk Songs, and it's a really exciting and very vibrant piece of music. Gabby, her music is very much influenced by her own personal heritage. Her mother, let me see if I can get this right, her mother was Peruvian Chinese, and her father was Russian Yiddish, kind of Russian Jewish, basically, background. And so she has kind of an unusual patchwork of heritage, but she's made use of all those different kind of strains of her own person in her music. And in this particular piece, she's really looking at her mother's Peruvian background. She used to visit Peru, and she has many memories of times there with her family. And so each of the four movements in this trio is kind of almost like a little snapshot of a memory of something in Peru that she has from her childhood and from speaking with her mother. The first movement recalls a beautiful church that overlooks the square, and we're kind of portraying the bells ringing out over the square, and the feeling of sort of a call in the morning that echoes around this beautiful square. It's kind of a community place where people gather. Then the second movement is called Children's Games, and she remembered kids just kind of playing in the street and racing around, causing mischief of various sorts. So we do that with our instruments in the second movement. The third is a very beautiful serenata or serenade, where actually the violin and cello both put our bows down entirely. We don't use any bows in that movement, and we strum, imitating a kind of local guitar that would people would play in the streets or in restaurants and things. And then our pianist gets to be the singer, and she sings this beautiful kind of seductive line over these plucked strummed accompaniments. And it's a very kind of enchanting movement. And the last movement is actually inspired by a set of ruins in Peru, very, very ancient ruins, sort of sculptures and heads and things that she says are both kind of imposing and slightly terrifying in how they look. And they had made a big impression on her as a child. And so that movement, I think, has this kind of monumental feel to it that's very beautiful, but also kind of imposing. So it's a neat way to finish the piece.
That's the four folk songs of Gabriella Elena Franck. They were written for you in 2012. Have you recorded them?
We have not. We're hoping to soon, but we haven't recorded them yet. Actually, we had a few pieces written for us that year, and we're hoping to do a recording of the whole set of them. Actually, one other was by a wonderful woman composer, Helen Grime, Scottish composer. But we'd like to make a disc of a bunch of our newer commissioned pieces. We haven't quite put it all together yet, but I think it'll be in the next couple of years.
How busy are you as a trio?
We don't tour as much as we did. It kind of, there was a time when we did 50 or 60 concerts in a year. Now we all have young children and we tour somewhat less, but we still do a couple of concerts a month, and we still try to be active with commissioning and recording projects. And we have some other projects that we kind of put together with it, but I think it feels like still enough to be really fun and fulfilling, but not to keep us on the road so much that our families forget who we are. So we try to find a balance of things, and it's, you know, some years are a little bit more and some years are a little bit less, but it feels like a good schedule.
At this point, Ludwig van Beethoven must feel like an old friend and colleague. The trio has focused a lot on his music.
Well, he gave us a lot of wonderful trios and considerations and things. He certainly, I think it's fair to, well, no, that's not true. Haydn gave us the largest repertoire, but Beethoven certainly gave us a very rich and a repertoire with a lot of depth to it in the trios. So a lot of great composers wrote one or two great trios, or maybe three, but he wrote more than most. So certainly it's something we've always focused on, his music, sort of by default, but also because we really love his music. And there's so much to find in it as you come back to it also. You know, the first time you play it is one thing, and then over the years, it feels like something you can really grow with.
This is all to say that the final work on the program will be Beethoven's Archduke Piano Trio.
Yes, his final trio, and I think in some ways the greatest one. It's a piece of just incredible warmth, and has so much lyrical singing quality, which is not something that people always think of in Beethoven. A lot of his earlier works and some other pieces in particular have a much more kind of motivic or, you know, dramatic feel to them. This one, I think it feels like he kind of sits back, and it feels very reflective and nostalgic at times, but also the sonorities of it are really wonderful, and we really enjoy playing it. I think it allows everyone to kind of sing together.
Well, I think it's a wonderful program to begin the new season of the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck, music of Gabriella Elena Franck, Fanny Mendelssohn, and Ludwig van Beethoven. Julia Bruskin, thanks so much for previewing the Claremont Trio's performance with me here on WMUK.
Well, my pleasure. Really glad to speak with you, and we look forward to the concerts.